This BBC podcast is supported by ads outside the UK.
The moment of shock is just unforgettable.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.
Richtig spannend, richtig vielfältig. Das ist deine Karriere bei Kaufland. Ob Trainee-Programm, Direkteinstieg, Studentenjob oder Praktikum. Finde bei uns den Einstieg, der zu dir passt. Profitiere von einer attraktiven Vergütung, spannenden Aufgaben und individuellen Entwicklungsmöglichkeiten. Werde jetzt Teil unseres Teams. Bewirb dich jetzt unter kaufland.de/studenten. Kaufland. Hier bin ich richtig.
Las Vegas, USA, home to billion-dollar casinos, towering luxury hotels, and a nightlife so wild it's earned the city its famous nickname, Sin City. But beyond the neon glow and glamorous showgirls lies a side of Las Vegas most visitors never get to see. I'm Rajiv Gupta, and this is the documentary on the BBC World Service. For Heart and Soul, I'm here to explore a very different Vegas, a place where sinner meets the saint. This city has become an unlikely hub for a growing spiritual movement, attracting those looking to heal, detox, or simply escape the chaos.
Meet you. I'm Rajiv from the BBC.
Very, very nice to meet you. Thank you for being here today.
I'm starting my journey at a spiritual center called The Haven, which is around 15 minutes away from the Las Vegas Strip. I'm greeted at the door by Karen Jackson, who's wearing a lovely flowery blouse. She has a warm smile and eyes framed by brown patterned glasses.
This room is mine. Each one of us have our own room, but the space is shared by the three of us, three like-minded ladies working together to bring light.
I love what you've done here. So it's kind of almost like, a spiritual boudoir. You've got your lovely fairy lights adorning the walls. I see symbols, religious symbols, like I saw the Aum sign and mm-hmm. other symbols as you walk in, and that beautiful smell of incense.
Yes. In the yes. Yes, we wanted to, our goal is when people walked in, they immediately felt like they could just breathe and relax and just let everything fall off and just be and connect to light, to peace, to calm, to healing, to whatever it is that they need when they come in. We have some people that just come in just to be. They're not here for a session. They're not here for a class. They're not here to shop. They're here just to be, because it's a peaceful place and it's a safe place. It's very important to us in our spiritual communities that this is a safe space for people.
When you say places are safe, why is that? Is it a sense of danger, or is there something else going on there?
No, Las Vegas has a reputation of being Sin City, and every form of debauchery is available here. But it's not that. Las Vegas is really no different than most big cities. We have all the same problems, but on your spiritual path, many times people don't feel comfortable sharing their views, or you talk about spirituality in terms that are not under religious language, and people tend to get fearful. And when people are fearful, they close down, they're not open, and judgment can come through.
What kind of things have you experienced in terms of judgment, even persecution over the years?
Well, people think that we're not of the light, that we're of the dark, because, if we're not calling in specific deities or acknowledging specific deities, then that must mean that we are on the other spectrum, on the other end, and, we're going to hell. And I've had people tell me that, over the years, that if I don't believe what they believe, then that means I'm going to hell. And I don't believe that at all.
That must be really difficult for you to have to hear and to deal with.
It was for a long time. I've been doing this for a long time. I've been doing this almost 40 years. And I started on this path for my own healing, never having any intention of doing this work with others. But Source, God, Spirit, whatever you want to say, had other ideas, and I'm so glad now. But it was hurtful. it was hurtful, and there were periods of time where I'm like, am I on the wrong track? Am I doing the wrong thing? But then when I listen to my heart tells me, my heart guides me, my heart knows, and that's what I have followed. And so I just allow people to believe what they believe and just kind of let it roll off like a duck in the rain.
You're very resilient. You have such a sense of calm about you. Does that come from doing what you do?
It comes from doing what I do, and it also comes from, I see that most people identify as spiritual versus religious. And so I see them coming in, and they're more open to it. Yeah, we're moving forward.
Hi.
What's going on?
Well, I'm with the BBC. How about yourself?
So you're doing stories like on women's...
No, I'm doing about spirituality and healing. And
my son passing away and one in prison and trying to heal through all that kind of stuff is what you're looking...
Wow. So you said you've two sons.
They were twins, and his brother just passed away August 1st, and the other one's in prison for 5 more years. So... yeah, just trying to heal through all that kind of stuff.
How does this help you?
The spirituality just keeps me calm at that peace, you know, up with God or the universe. Yeah.
Do you mind if I ask you the circumstances around yourself?
So basically it's drugs for both of them, and then it was fentanyl but they just turned 34. And he was 33 when he passed away, and was a drug addict most of his adult life. And then the other one got put in prison, so, I mean, he might have had the same fate too, but now he's clean. But yeah, this life's a hard life.
So coming here, have you started coming here post all of this happening?
Yeah, it started, I was... married almost 30 years and then left my marriage 2 months before 30 and then started going to meditations.
Yes.
So for me, it's the energy. It's being around the same, you know, people that want to heal too or want different answers, or that's what it is for me. It's sit and be still. And then it's almost like a hug or the love, the spirituality. And I give so much energy working that I have to get filled up, so I come and get filled up from this.
Is it a sense for you to kind of rationalize, understand what you've been through, or is it more a sense of healing and trying to find peace?
Understanding what is going on in our world. And we don't have control over learning to just, this is the journey, we're souls living a human experience. We weren't promised anything.
Yeah. What were your boys like? What were they like?
Well, actually, I never really got to know them because they started probably on drugs at 11th grade. I lost them about starting 11th grade. So what were they like? Not very good. And then I was the scapegoat. So I've now since walked away so I can go on my own path and heal my soul, because my soul's been crushed.
This is a very, what people might call, alternate space for healing. Some people turn to the church, they turn to conventional religions. What made you seek something like this out?
Being able to sit and find myself through spirituality, knowing that there is something higher. We don't know what it is, but I can feel it. So I like to just sit and be in it. It's like the energy.
I feel like you're connecting to a higher power.
Yeah. Yeah. That it's okay. We're here for a limited time and got to make the best out of it.
When did you first realize this was working? Because I've tried meditation. I find it quite hard to focus and get in that space. Does it just come very naturally to you, do you think?
So I remember when I first went, there's so many different things. Instead of getting overwhelmed by it, I said, let me sit and be still. If something resonates with me, then I can go further in that. But I remember another woman said, there's so much to know. How am I going to know it all? Well, you have to sit and be still. And then the universe actually brings what you need. I think that's the turn on about it, is that God or the universe already knows what you need if you sit and be still and let it come to you.
How would you describe yourself religiously? Do you put a label on it?
It depends who I'm around. If I say God or if I say the universe, the quiet in the noise of this crazy world, I want to be the quiet. I want to find, you know, go back to what matters in life, the, you know, nature, the beautiful mountains, the leaves that turn colors, not all the other material things.
You're in Vegas.
I am. And I get to enjoy Vegas when I want to, but I know that you got to get out in nature, and that's how you heal and stay grounded.
How does that work with just the Strip being, what, 15 minutes away from where we are now? And then,
because that's not my, I mean, I had fun with the, you know, I worked in the casinos, I cocktailed at the Rio, I cocktailed, that was fun, but that was back then. And then now, as you evolve, I just like the good things out of life.
Do you think there's something about cocktailing and working on the Strip that leaves people wanting to search for some more meaning afterwards? Because a lot of people who have done those kind of roles sort of seem to migrate towards some kind of spirituality or religion after that. Do you think there's something in the very nature of the Strip that makes people want to go 360 and head in the other direction at some point in time?
Well, I think because they call it Sin City, and then everybody wants to be sinful, so they come to Vegas and then they let it all hang out. But for me, it was fun. And then when it wasn't fun anymore, it was always time to find something different. And that's how I've always kind of lived my life.
Can I, do you mind if I ask your name?
Erin.
Erin.
Erin Raymond. Yeah.
Well, I hope
definitely
you.
Definitely hard.
Thank you for speaking to me.
Absolutely.
The OB does the ultrasound, and I'm looking at the monitor, and there's no baby.
This is the story of a young woman who faked pregnancy again and again.
Story after story after story.
Targeting birth workers with a web of lies.
That this was a pregnancy via assault.
She was going through a stillbirth at 24 weeks.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby. Available now.
This is a documentary from the BBC World Service. I'm Rajiv Gupta, and I'm in Las Vegas, USA, a place also known as Sin City for its non-stop party atmosphere. But I'm here for a very different reason, and covering a hidden spiritual movement that's going on here. Now, I'm currently standing just off the Strip in front of a shrine to the Hindu god Brahma. It's a four-faced shrine that's around 15 feet tall. It's lined with glistening silver, and people have draped saffron-colored flowers all around it. So this is really a strange thing for me, because to the left, you have the famous Caesar's Palace Hotel, and to the right of me, you have the burning pitchforks of Gordon Ramsay's Hell's Kitchen. Now, I'm off to meet a guy called Chaplain Ryan, and he was a building inspector that helped build some of these amazing hotels which lined the Las Vegas Strip. But he was injured at work, and that injury led him on a spiritual journey, and now he's using that to help others who face problems with addiction. And I'm off to meet him.
This is one of five locations where we provide the professional spiritual care services to our persons in care. So, yeah.
So, Chap, we'll call you Chap. It's Chaplain Ryan.
Yes, it's Chaplain Ryan. Yeah, they go, the Chap is kind of the nickname that the community's kind of given me. And so, yeah, that's it. And I like it because Chap always gives you, we're a friend, you know, and going through difficult times, most of these folks are looking for a friend that can sit with them and hear from them. And you know, sometimes that's enough, is to, you know, to have someone present with you, and which is a big part of the professional spiritual care chaplain work, is just sitting with people in their time of need.
We're in Sin City, we're in Vegas, and a lot of the women that you are helping and supporting have come from abusive backgrounds. There's substance abuse as well. And here you are using spirituality as a kind of form of therapy. How does that all come together?
I guess I can tell a small story. So at 17 years old, I detoxed at WestCare a long 30 years ago. And so to come full circle to then be the stars orchestrated this opportunity to become the director of spiritual care for the organization that, you know, helped me battle through some of those early access to, you know, Sin City, you know, which I don't even like calling it Sin City anymore. Fun fact about Sin City, there's actually more houses of worship here than there are hotels and casinos, and people don't always associate the two, but in the 70s, it was, we searched the world and found the most beautiful women to become the showgirls that were here around here. Well, a lot of them settled down and, you know, local mob guys and, you know, they created families in the community. And so you have a very wide variety of different cultures and systems of belief. And so I kind of grew up in that you looked a little different, you sounded a little different, you know, different things were important to you. So that was a lot of where the respect came from, where I was able to identify more people's similarities than the obvious differences that can cause us from not, you know, working together on things to be better to each other. And that's gone a long way, I think.
What you've just told me has blown my mind.
Yeah.
The fact there are more places of worship. I mean, wow. You said you don't like calling it Sin City. Why not?
Because there's a lot of people that are living out beautiful lives here in Las Vegas, apart from the casino and hotel industries and a lot of that. But this is the thing. Vegas won. I mean, if there was a competition, I mean, they're probably now the sports capital of the world. Probably the best culinary dining in the world is now provided here. So entertainment as well, shows, and from jugglers to singers to everything. I mean, we won. Now, you know, if I was in a more of a governing position, what do you do when you win? Well, you got to go back and look at who got hurt in the process. And because of a lot of these spices of life are offered within, you know, the community for that reach of the world to come and experience here. That's why places like WestCare, I think, are so important, is because, you know, it's a place where people who maybe didn't have the skill set or the upbringing to manage the spices of life don't get totally lost in the shuffle and can be rebuilt and be a part of still what's going on here.
You told me that you had to detox at WestCare when you were, you know, 17. Were you a victim of the rise of Vegas and all those spoils that you said?
Absolutely. Early on, it was obtain alcohol, drugs was readily available. You know, having a fake ID type of deal was something that was common amongst us at that age. So bars, gambling, all that experience came really before my brain was fully functioned, you know. And so that's the early memories of how I ended up at WestCare. But that story gets even better. You want to hear it?
Yeah, of course.
So I was a young man at WestCare, and a gentleman came in, and I remember while it was about day 9 I was in there, and this gentleman, just an encouraging word is so important when people are battling for their very souls, you know, against these elements that are, you know, available. And he just told me, "You're so young." He said, "You can do anything, you know." And I believed it. And I still remember it this day. Now, this is where the story takes a spiritual undeniability turn. You know, I didn't see these people again for a very long time. I ended up meeting a girl online, you know, it's dating turned to online. And we were, you know, about 4 months in, and she was like, "I think it would be great if, you know, you met my family, you know, that kind of thing." And so she invites me out to a birthday party event. And I meet this gentleman, and there was no doubt his voice was familiar. He had this ambiance about him, and sure enough, it was the man who, you know, 15, 20 years earlier told me I could do anything, and here his daughter is now introducing to me, you know, and I'm marrying her and giving him 3 grandchildren, and all this happened in Sin City, right? And it's one of those undeniable things where it's like, you know, never fail to realize just what an encouraging word can do to the destiny of you, your family, And now for the past nearly 10 years, I've been the director of spiritual care here at Wesker. The countless individuals that we share these same, you know, methods and modalities of understanding to have deeper life experiences and make sense of some of the difficult things. And so, you know, wow. Healthier whole community. Very pretty cool story, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Chap Ryan and I are just going for a little drive out of the West Care Center. It's actually taking me to a new Mexican restaurant, which is just less than a mile down the road. And Chap, we were just talking about when you were just 24 years old, you ended up adopting an 11-year-old boy. And the more I thought about that, I mean, that must have been a huge responsibility to take on for you back then.
Yeah, not a lot of 24-year-olds are looking at adopting, you know, an 11-year-old boy. And I was a newer pastor at a non-denominational church and had taken him in had a good community support at the time. I was married for about a year and a half, 2 years, and I married my kindergarten sweetheart at the time. And things turned. It's kind of like when you start really serving for good sometimes, it seems like the things that don't have your best interest in mind sometimes show up and start testing the faith. Unfortunately, my childhood sweetheart had an affair with a minister within the church that I was pastoring at the time, shortly after we had taken in the guardianship of the young boy who was 11. And so I continued to raise him after that. But it was at that moment where it could have went a very different way. The betrayal of, you know, someone that you've known your entire life to become your life partner in marriage, and within the walls of the church having another minister betray the sanctity of that marriage in that kind of a way. I definitely could have played for the other team, and thank the higher power that I do connect with, that I found the strength to overcome and use that as a strength to help others through difficult situations. And it's been a beautiful part of my story.
That sort of personal experience that you seem to have, so multifaceted, you know, growing up in Vegas and substance abuse yourself and these traumas, do you feel that's given you a real basis, not only connecting for your own well-being to this spirituality, this higher power, but also in administering care to people that, like you do now here at Westcare?
100%. It is, if you can use the traumas of your life, how you found your way out of the darkness into the light of new life, and share that with others. One, you have the advantage to see people in that place that may be wearing a mask and others don't see that how bad they're hurting, and guide them to a better way.
Take a deep breath. Close your eyes.
I've come back to the Haven, the place where I started my exploration of spirituality in Las Vegas. I've just taken part in a tea meditation which involves some calming ritualistic drumming.
To the center of our being, keeping us connected not only to the elements but connected to ourselves.
The session was led by popular spiritual teacher Patty Stevens, who grew up as a Christian Baptist but found her spiritual calling after she left her family in Detroit and moved to Sin City. After the session, I catch up with Patty and Samantha, who does psychic readings and is also one of the co-founders here.
I had a reading from Samantha, and she told me to step back and relax, and then I fell and broke my leg. And I have been stepping back and relaxing for quite a while. But she was spot on.
Like, I had no idea she was going to fall. But that was the universe saying, yo, you need to chill out because you're hard-headed over there and you ain't listening or something.
Right.
I noticed that most of the people here, apart from your husband, Patty, they're all women. Do you think this particularly attracts women more than men?
Yes, but we are seeing more and more men becoming aware and rising up to enlightenment. So it really is a beautiful thing. We welcome it. We are definitely here for it. I think over the next, you know, years, you're going to be seeing it more and more. But women are intuitive by nature. It's just part of their blueprint.
And they admit it.
And they admit it. Yeah, that's right.
My husband, he's attuned to Reiki, and he sits in on my meditations usually, but he's still a man.
Yep, he's still a man.
What do you mean by that? Is he a little bit more skeptical? Or
no, he prefers to do it on his own. He'll do his meditations, but doesn't really always like a group.
In terms of formalized faith, you might call it, the religions, the big religions of the world, it tends to be men in those leadership positions and the actual practitioners, you know, the vicars, the imams, the priests. But here seems to be very much women at the forefront who are the practitioners.
And women are coming, but women always were. It was the men that took them and put them away.
Yes, it's true.
Once organized religion came in, the men did not like that the women were able to do healings.
No, absolutely. And like we had said earlier, this was before Christ. And so it's just so crazy how it got so mixed up to women being so watered down and not in control. And I'm all for men. I love men. I'm not a feminist. I'm women empowerment. But looking back on history, it's interesting to see, wait a minute, this wasn't how it was supposed to be.
Exactly.
The other thing I find quite interesting is when I'm speaking to everyone separately, they all have a different way of coming to this, not sort of classing it as a particular type of religion. It's more this kind of idea of spirituality. But you all sort of sing in the same tune, as almost it came from a kind of particular book.
Right.
But it's not.
You're drawn to it when the time is right.
Mm-hmm. What is it, I suppose? Because it's
you
not.
Just know.
It's speaking your own truth. It's, you know, singing
you
with your heart.
You feel that there's something more.
There's no book to it. There's no name.
No.
Really.
Spirituality.
Yeah.
Just that. That's it.
So I've just left the Haven, and I'm walking towards the Strip. And as night falls, the true effervescence of the neon lights and vibrance of this city comes into effect. And just reflecting on my journey and the stories that I've heard and the contrast between the meditation session and the parties that are just getting going around me. And it says to me that everyone truly does come to Vegas looking for something. And for some, that's spirituality. Heart and Soul was presented and produced by me, Rajiv Gupta.
The OB does the ultrasound, and I'm looking at the monitor, and there's no baby.
This is the story of a young woman who faked pregnancy again and again.
Story after story after story.
Targeting birth workers with a web of lies.
That this was a pregnancy via assault.
She was going through a stillbirth at 24 weeks.
From CBC and the BBC World Service, The Con, Caitlin's Baby, available now.